And we have Commissioner Chris Bruns in studio with us today. How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing well, Corey. Good morning.
You opted for the chair closest to me, which I think you're the first person to actually do that. Because I have everyone trained to go over there near the window. You must have thought you were going to have people come along and heckle you, maybe. Or maybe you just want to be closest to the outdoor, you know. So.
No, just being able to look out the window.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe, you know, if I ask a tough question, you got a shorter path to get out of the studio. We haven't been able to talk to you. You're so busy. You were telling me you're on several boards. You're just, you know, one thing to the other, and your job requires a lot there, being a leader of Trigo Dugan.
But at the same time, involved in the county and everything that's going on there. And, it's good to get in here from time to time and be able to speak to everybody.
So. When were you growing up? Did you know that you were the type of person that wanted to have your finger, so to speak, in a lot of different things in the pulse of community?
You know, that's a great question. I don't know that you ever truly get that figured out. Mm-hmm. Growing up, it just kind of happens. You evolve into these different types of positions. And
were you involved in like speech and debate and mock trial and those sort of things?
Oh, I was, yeah. And now that you mention it, yeah, I was extremely involved in high school.
Yeah.
In various different clubs, activities, athletics, music. So
you're just wired that way, just to be involved in that and politics and how things work, and you must be curious, kind of like me, because that's just, I'm kind of wired to ask questions. I guess I'm in the right business for that, and having a talk show certainly fuels that and feeds that.
So. I am absolutely one to ask questions. A lot of people don't like it when I start asking questions, but.
And I'm sure people will tell me that too. Why do you have to ask so many questions? You know. But it's a good thing, and I think the thing about it, you know, you maybe don't know everything about a lot, but you know a lot about a little, or a little about a lot of different things. You know, you don't know the whole thing about maybe pick one thing. I can tell you a little bit about it, but not the whole thing.
Enough to be dangerous, right?
Enough to be dangerous. Hold people accountable. I like that, and that's what I get to do a little bit. You can view it that way now as we talk about the Board of Commissioners here. You have meetings that go long, and you're talking about a lot of different things, and then you have meetings like last week, and it looks like yesterday fairly concise. It doesn't look like you had anything like huge or anything to discuss.
And this time of year, a lot of our meetings, they're fairly routine, but we still do, we get quite a bit accomplished nonetheless. The county board is a working board, and so a lot of the things that we do, if they're administrative in nature, and they help make sure that, you know, the ball is continuing to move for county government in the community on a week in and week out basis. And so, but really our meetings, I was talking to somebody last night at the Marine Corps birthday celebration. They were asking about the county and saying that they were watching the meeting online. And I said, is that really all you do? And I said, no, the meetings that you see online, on Monday mornings, they're about 5 to 10% of what we do as county commissioners.
Most of it's behind the scenes and between.
Most
the
of it is
right?
behind the scenes. A lot of our collateral duties, the committees that we serve on, the ancillary boards that we sit on for different community organizations, and that's really where a lot of the bulk of the work gets done for the county. In that conversation, I was saying, it's been a godsend for Lincoln County to go from 3 commissioners to 5 commissioners, because we can have a couple different commissioners serving on those boards, and we can communicate and talk in a non-quorum setting about the work that needs to get done for Lincoln County. And we can, again, move that ball forward in a positive way. Mm-hmm. So most of the work gets done behind the scenes. When we come together on Monday mornings, obviously that's where, you know, official votes happen and work actually gets done.
Right, but you're constantly communicating during the week, too, and keeping each other, you know, like you each have your areas of emphasis, I guess you'd call them, and boards and committees that you're involved in and doing the deep dive work on, but you have to communicate that to everybody and make sure everybody knows what's going on in each area.
A lot of hours every single week.
For sure. Let's hit the highlights of yesterday's meeting. You discussed and considered a recommendation to the Nebraska Liquor Control Commission for manager change amendment for Fast Store in Sutherland. And this is, you were telling me about this beforehand, how this worked. Anytime there's a manager change at a store, they have to get their own, certificate and from the Liquor Control Commission that they're...
Yes and no. I mean, this one's a little bit more unique. So the county board, we consider different... liquor licenses, making recommendations up to the Nebraska Liquor Control Commission, who's they're kind of going through their own turmoil right now. But this particular license, the owners of this location that has this liquor license, the owners are out of state. They're in Utah. And so by Nebraska state statute, somebody local has to have that, has to be listed on that license. This particular location, it's the manager of the store. They just went through some management changes. And so this one came before the board. It was fairly routine. We looked at the application. We asked some good questions, making sure that they understood the gravity of, you know, what that means and that they've gone through the training. They have the experience. And we felt, you know, all things considered based on the application and actually talking to the manager of the store, it was okay to proceed that application forward to the Nebraska Liquor Control Commission with a positive recommendation.
Do you look at their, do you check their background history of management and see if there's any violations?
We
like
see the criminal record,
minors,
everything.
Like that.
Yep. So
that would be a red flag. You get the red flags every once in a while.
Like, and we have. From time to time, we've had those come through, and we've sent it forward with a negative recommendation, and we list out what our reasonings are. And
you have to – does the board have to make a recommendation, either thumbs up or thumbs down, on applies?
And we can send it with a neutral or a no recommendation at all.
Okay. Which basically is putting in the lap of the state Liquor Control Commission,
correct,
right?
Yeah, but I don't think that that's really doing any justice to, A, the applicant, or, B, the Nebraska Liquor Control Commission.
Sure.
We're the ones here locally. We have our thumb on the pulse of what's going on. We're the ones that are interacting with law enforcement and can provide great insight to the body that actually is stamping those licenses. And so I think it's just us doing our due diligence. So the county, typically, we always send either a positive or a negative recommendation forward.
Okay. On down to the next item, discuss and consider authorizing the chair to sign the Memorandum of Understanding between the Nebraska Department of Veterans Affairs and the county.
Yeah, so this was just a memorandum for basically saying, yes, we're allowing our county veteran service officer to tap into the systems that the state, the Nebraska Department of Veteran Affairs, utilizes to help streamline the process for our veterans. And you know, how apropos, I mean, we're talking about this on Veterans Day.
On Veterans Day, yeah.
You know, our County Veteran Service Office, they do an amazing, amazing job taking care of our veterans, ensuring that, their applications for assistance, that they're going through in an expeditious manner, getting those benefits for our veteran community here, helping them with a myriad of different issues that they're experiencing. And so this was just, a memorandum of understanding saying, yes, we understand, what tapping into that technology, that system means, and we understand, no sharing of information. But that system really does help the staff over there, again, streamline the process and make sure that the veterans that are coming in on day in and day out basis, that they're able to get the assistance they need in a timely manner. And so
you and you have people from that office on occasion come in and update you on what's happening, right?
Yeah, our county veteran service officer does a fantastic job keeping the board abreast of everything that's going on. He has done a tremendous job, again, providing, helping the veterans get those benefits that they've worked hard for and they've earned through their time in service. And that has translated to millions of dollars coming into the community in benefits, which then goes into our economy, and it really does a positive for the entire community here in Lincoln County. So
You discussed and consider the purchase of a tandem snowplow truck for Lincoln County Department of Roads. You know, as much as those maybe not every season, but you got to have those. There are, you know, years which that there's a lot of snow and a lot of snow clearing that has to take place. You got to make sure your equipment is up to date. I know you try to get, the Department of Roads tries to get by on what they have too, but when you really need it, you got to man up, as
exactly,
they say,
exactly,
right? And get a new piece.
So our fleet of equipment is pretty large for the entire county. I mean, we have over 1,600 miles of road in Lincoln County that we maintain. So this was just on the maintenance schedule. We have some aging equipment that was purchased in the early 2000s. It's been run through the ringer.
I'm sure it has, yeah.
And so snow season's right around the corner.
Believe it or not.
Knock on wood that it doesn't come too soon, but... at the same time, we do need some snow this year. It helps with the precipitation levels and everything. And this equipment needed to be replaced. And so the particular asset that we authorized them to go with last night, or yesterday morning, good piece of equipment. We're going to see a good return on investment from it. Good dump truck. With a spreader and a plow, and it'll be used not just during snow season, but the actual asset will be used for all year round for road maintenance and building roads.
Well, they're able to use it year
round.
Okay.
It's multifunctional. So good piece of equipment, and our highway superintendent Jason Schultz, he does a great job. Sourcing these different pieces of equipment, these assets, and getting the best deal on them. And so,
yeah, it's not like they're going online and looking for the most expensive thing.
No, he's doing his due diligence
and
really getting
the
best,
making sure,
best bang for the buck.
Right. That's what popped into my head. It's, you're as mean and lean as you can be when
exactly.
you make purchases.
Get the most done with the least amount. So.
Yeah, for sure. And things that, are there reviews for snow plows online? I'm just wondering.
You would be surprised. You would be surprised.
You know, especially if people have had negative experiences, they're pretty free to share that and say, stay away from it, right?
No, but he's done a great job. I mean, we're getting to a point with a lot of our equipment. The aging equipment, and we've slipped into this in the past, previous boards have, where they've bought used equipment, thinking that they were getting a great steal, if you will, and being judicious with taxpayer money. And what we've seen is there's a trade-off.
You have to replace them more often. Yeah.
There's a trade-off. There's a maintenance cost that goes into that.
Right.
The labor, the parts, the downtime. And so Jason has done a really good job navigating and kind of, treading that line on when does it make sense to buy used, when does it make sense to buy new, and what does that mean for the taxpayers in the long run as far as the dollars that are going into that equipment. So
same for us when we make a decision on when is it time to upgrade a vehicle. How much is it costing me right now? And you have to weigh that. Do I want to put, $2,500 into it a year because of things that crop up, or is it time to just upgrade?
Exactly.
Either get a new one or a good used one. Discuss and consider interlocal agreement for network services with the City of North Platte.
Yeah, so we're actually doing a little bit of research on this. We tabled this one because we wanted to find out exactly dollars and cents what the county is paying to the city. We have great partnerships with the city in so many different regard. numerous different interlocal agreements where we're sharing services. And the gist behind these interlocals is how can we streamline and make tax dollars most efficiently spent while still getting the services needed. And so we, this particular one, we partner with the city for our IT services. We share staff. The county helps pay for the staff. We pay some fees for some technology. But we get the most bang for our buck in sharing that staff to take care of not only the county technology equipment, art network that we have, but also the city. And we see some return on investment from that standpoint, from a security aspect. You know, we have that knowledge base that's all centrally located. Great individuals over there that take care of the county and the city. And so this is just a renewal of that partnership with the city on an annual basis.
Okay.
But we did have some questions, dollars and cents wise, that we're seeking some clarification on.
Need a few more details before you pass that through. And then on the previous one, you did approve the purchase of the snowplow.
Correct.
And I just want to make sure. Yeah, we got that. And then down to nine, you discussed and considered interlocal agreement for maintenance of roads.
Yeah, this has been an ongoing discussion between the city and the county, and we tabled this one as well. Last city council meeting, they made some changes to this agreement. They took a particular road off that I think the majority of the board anyway wants to see Viera Avenue.
Yeah.
Majority of the board wants to see that road back on there. I mean, this particular road, it's been used to be historically for the listeners out there, because this has been in the news, you know, as of late.
It's been publicized,
This road used to be referred to as Madison Avenue. And back in the 80s, a survey was done because they were doing some development out there, and they realized that Madison Avenue was actually supposed to be surveyed about 100 feet further west. And so at that time, the county approached the property owners and said, if you still want this to be a county road, you can go through the quitclaim deed process, transfer that land, that 60 feet of right-of-way, over to the county, which they did in 1981. And the county filed that quitclaim deed.
But they never took action on it. They never...
Well, in the minutes, this is where some of the contention comes in. The minutes do say that the road is going to be designated as Viera Avenue.
But they never took a formal vote on it, right?
But they've only done that three times in the past four decades on various roads, and we have a lot of roads that have become county roads in that process.
Sure.
So there hasn't been a strict following of process from board to board to board. On how they do things. And so that's where some of the questions came in on this particular road. But we maintained it. I mean, 1981, the county maintained it as a county road. Moving forward, in 2014, the county put this on this, what this item is, the maintenance of roads interlocal agreement between the city of North Platte and the county, where certain roads that are close to the city, and it makes sense, again, sharing of services, how can we get the best for our taxpayer dollars? The city has a maintainer that's going down a gravel road up on 19th Street. It's easy for them to hop over to this road instead of for us to pull equipment from the county out on a county road, bring it all the way into the city to maintain this road, and vice versa. And so that's why we have these agreements. And in 2014, this particular road went on this agreement, and it's been on this agreement since 2014. And so we've treated it as a county road. And some question came in a couple years ago on the city's side on whether or not this was actually a designated road, because they couldn't find the resolution, that paperwork that the county had accepted it. And again, county government in western Nebraska can be the wild, wild west sometimes. And so it eventually got on our radar, conversations that I had with the mayor and a couple city councilmen, and we got it put on the agenda. The county closed the loop administratively, paperwork-wise, and we designated it a county road and closed that official loop a few weeks ago, saying, yes, in fact, it is a county road. We've treated it as such for decades. If the city's having questions on this, we're going to close the loop and provide a formal document saying, yes, it is a county road. But apparently last city council meeting, they still had questions, and so they asked for it to be taken off of this agreement. And there's at least three of us I know, based on the meeting that we had yesterday, that did not like that action. And so we're seeing, we tabled this particular interlocal agreement because we want to see more conversation on this with the city. So
you gotta, you just have to come to an agreement with the city how it's going to be the maintenance is going to be handled.
We'll negotiate it. Over the past few years, it hasn't been maintained because there's been question on the city's part on whether or not it's actually a designated road. And so it hasn't been maintained. So it's the state of the road needs a little bit of work. I imagine that the county will go in and get it back up to snuff and up to standard. But we would like to see this from an ongoing maintenance schedule as far as grading and snow removal if it's needed, whatever that looks like based on the city's plan. We would like to see that as part of this agreement. So,
how about you just alternate, from storm to storm, every time it needs grading.
again,
okay, it's city's turn.
it's how can we take care of our infrastructure assets in the most efficient way?
Right.
Using equipment, because these North Platte taxpayers, Lincoln County taxpayers, and there's some of them that pay both in property taxes. And how can we get the most out of the least amount of taxpayer dollars that are being spent? How can we get the most out of them and take care of that infrastructure in the best way possible? And so that's why this agreement is important, and why we would like to see particular roads on there from that aspect.
Just takes some more discussion, so we'll just...
It's not always an easy process, not always an expeditious process, but at the end of the day, the best things come forward through discussion. So.
Right, yeah. You don't want to rush it for the sake of just not getting to the best conclusion on
exactly.
It, too. So make sure you have it. And then you've been going through discussing your own county board rules and regulations, I know, and continue to do that, and there's not drastic changes, probably just little tweaks here and there.
Yeah, and essentially, what we're doing is we're going through and we're codifying how our board operates and how we've operated for decades, and just making sure that it's on paper. This is what our process is, because we've had some instances in recent years where certain things have popped up, and we're like, How do we address this?
Right,
and making sure that we have a clear guideline moving forward for any future boards, new people come on, potentially, that they have kind of a roadmap to how do we get business done for the taxpayers.
How long do you let people speak when they want to talk? That's part of it.
We have contentious issues that come before our board from time to time, and public hearings, and while we absolutely want everybody to have their opportunity and access to government and be able to voice their opinions, and
can't let them go on and on forever.
Exactly, so. You can't let somebody kind of stymie the process up by speaking for an hour. So we give them a reasonable amount of time, and what does that look like? So hopefully next week we'll have this all buttoned up, and this has been going on for over a year now, this particular project, and so hopefully we get it buttoned up and put a bow on it next week.
Okay. Anything else out of the committee reports there at the end you want to mention?
No. This time of year, they're fairly routine meetings. Which is good.
Holidays, there's enough happening.
Exactly.
So that is good to kind of have the routine ones crop up there, especially this time of the year. Commissioner Chris Bruns has been our guest with the Lincoln County Commissioners, talking about yesterday's board meeting. We thank you, sir, for coming in this morning.
My pleasure, Corey.
I was happy to
Veterans Day to all the vets out there.